This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Ever since the Jetsons hit TV screens and George was flying around in his flying car to go to work at Spacely Sprockets and everywhere else, dropping off Elroy and Jane and Judy, I have wanted a flying car. I have been waiting my entire life for a flying car. And every once in a while, I hear about companies that try to come up with flying car technology. There was a story just yesterday about a flying car that crashed, a car called the Maverick, produced by a company in Florida. But when I dug a little bit deeper, it turned out this was really just a car hanging from a giant parachute with a giant fan on the back, like a dune buggy that wasn't really flying. It was really floating along thanks to the parachute and the fan. That's not what I want in a flying car, but maybe my next guest can provide my flying car and yours too. His name is Carl Dietrich. He's the CEO of Terrafugia, a company in Massachusetts that is in the business of flying cars. And Carl, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks very much for having me on.
You're not just doing dune buggies with a fan on the back and a parachute, right?
No. We have vehicles that drive on the road like your car, can convert to a flying vehicle similar to an airplane, and fly along at speeds over 100 miles an hour.
So how close are we to this being in the hands of consumers?
Well, we're planning on delivering our first products within the next 2 years, and we just recently released a vision for the future that's our second-generation product, which will take another 8 to 10 years to develop.
Now, when you say that it drives like a car and then it takes off like an airplane, does that mean we need a runway?
The first product, you do need a runway. The second product, you don't. The second product has vertical takeoff and landing capabilities similar to a V-22 Osprey, which is a vehicle that is deployed by the Marine Corps today.
Okay. So does that mean in the case of the latter, I'll be able to back out of my garage and go up and on my way to work?
Yeah, you can drive down the road. You need a clearing of about 100 feet, and you need to have permission from the landowner in order to use the space for takeoff and landing. But, yeah, it really can take off vertically and fly that next-generation concept. We're anticipating will fly over 200 miles per hour.
Why has it taken so long?
Well, the challenges are not trivial there. They're pretty significant technical challenges, and there are also infrastructure issues that needed to be resolved. One of the key pieces of infrastructure is the FAA's Next Generation Air Traffic Control System, which is being deployed now. This system has a data network that tells every vehicle in the airspace where every other vehicle is. It will be fully deployed by 2020. And that's one of the key pieces that you need, because each one of these vehicles needs to be able to automatically avoid all other air traffic.
Right. Because if we leave it in the hands of just the people who are behind the controls, we're going to ask for trouble, right?
Well, yeah, it works today because there are not a lot of vehicles in the airspace, and pilots today, like myself, rely on basically just looking out the window to avoid other air traffic.
Yeah.
So what we need to do in order to make aviation accessible to a larger segment of the population is make it safe to have a lot more vehicles in the air and make a reliable system that can protect everyone with a much higher level of reliability than just kind of looking outside and trying to avoid other aircraft.
Carl, I got to be honest with you, Carl. I'm going to speak perfectly selfishly here, and I know this wouldn't be good for your business, but it would be okay if you only sold a flying car to me and not to anybody else. It would make it a lot easier.
Well, our first generation product is called the Transition. That's coming to market in the next 2 years. And that vehicle actually is like a general aviation airplane today that folds up its wings in less than a minute, drives down the road, and can park in your garage. So that's the first product. And if you go to our website, driventofly.com, you can see images of that vehicle as well. We've been flying prototypes of that since 2009. So that one will be the first model to come to market. And that you could get very soon, and it doesn't need that data network, because basically you have to be trained the way a pilot is trained today.
I could get it very soon if I wrote you a check for how much?
Well, the first product is going to be $279,000 base price. The second product we may be able to bring lower because the manufacturing volume we expect to go up significantly, and therefore the price may be able to come down to luxury car sort of range, high-end luxury car.
You're talking about 40 or 50K?
Well, we don't know. We don't know is the honest answer. It will depend upon how materials costs vary over the next 8 to 10 years.
What kind of safety systems are you going to have?
The first generation product even has a built-in parachute system. So if you get into trouble, you can pull a handle and a parachute will deploy and bring you down safely under the chute without having to jump out of the vehicle. The vehicles meet Federal Motor Vehicle safety standards. So you can drive legally down the road. They have airbags and pre-tensioning seat belts, a safety cage, crumple zones, those things that you expect in a car today. The next generation product will have a much higher level of integrated redundant systems because that next generation product, which we call the TFX, that vehicle, you'll be able to get in and tell it where you want to go, and basically the vehicle would have the capability of flying you there. These sorts of autopilot systems have been around for quite a while, but you still have to be a trained pilot in order to safely operate and manage those systems. And what we are seeing today is a new level of sophistication in what's called human-directed local autonomy, which is basically a fancy way of saying that I can tell a system what to do at a very high level, and it will then go and do that.
When the flying car goes by itself, I sure hope it's using Google Maps and not Apple Maps. I'm
GPS
curious.
Really was a key enabler for this whole thing as well. And
yeah.
The proliferation of GPS systems has really been another. That's part of the FAA's next gen air traffic control. It's called the ADS-B system, or Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, which is a system that tells all the aircraft where all the other aircraft are. It also informs the vehicles of where bad weather is, because little flying vehicles are more sensitive to bad weather than cars on the road.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to navigate around autonomously. You've got to be able to avoid bad weather. You've got to be able to avoid other aircraft. You've got to be able to avoid restricted airspace where there could be military operations, that sort of thing, where, you know, wherever the president goes, there's a temporary flight restriction around that space.
Right.
The vehicles have to autonomously avoid those effective virtual obstacles addition to, you know, physical obstacles.
I'm curious, yeah. Carl, what this is going to do to the concept of the suburbs. Most people don't want to live more than 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes away from work. But if you can go 200 miles an hour, in 30 minutes, you could live 100 miles away.
Yeah, if you start thinking along those lines, it could have very far-reaching ramifications for society at large. And it's a very exciting time. If you look at the history of the development of the suburbs and things like that, they were really enabled by the automobile.
Yep.
And the automobile now, as we know, has its own limitations in terms of traffic, things of that nature. With a flying car, you can get away from that. You can get up off the ground. You're not going to be impeded by traffic. There are no speed limits up there. So you can go as fast as the vehicle will let you go.
Until the other vehicles all get in my way. How many of these have been reserved?
Well, we have over 100 vehicles on order, and that was before this most recent wave of press. So we are expecting that order backlog to continue to grow. And I'm just talking about the first product. The second product, we're not yet allowing people to reserve the vehicle because there's not enough specifications worked out at this stage. It's at a conceptual design level. So there's still a number of years of development that need to go into flushing out the concept before we'll be able to say, yes, we expect it to fly at, you know, 190 miles per hour or 230 miles per hour, whatever it is, and let people figure out, think a little bit more, okay, does this actually work for me?
Wow. I only have about 15 seconds here. Have you flown around in your flying car yet?
Actually, we have a professional test pilot who's been doing all of the flying of the vehicle because we're still a small company. And frankly, it from a liability perspective, you want to have your most experienced person.
Yeah, the insurance people won't let you go up in it yet, Carl. I understand. I'm not buying one until you fly one, but then keep me on there. I want one that takes off like a Harrier. We'll talk about that some other time. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Carl Dietrich, who is the chief executive officer of Terrafugia. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can email Paul at AmericaWeekend.com. All of this on your radio every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Networks. America.